Well, hey, friend, this is Julie Slattery, and let me welcome you to Java with Julie. How did you feel about your body when you were growing up? You know, it's normal for all kids, and I think especially adolescents, to have some awkwardness and insecurities about their bodies. But unfortunately, discomfort, specifically with your gender and sexuality, has become an even more confusing issue for many kids and teens as progressive narratives put so much emphasis on self-discovery. Some of the most pressing questions from parents and ministry leaders revolve around this idea of how we lay the foundation of God's good design for sex and gender. Well, that's where we're headed in my conversation today with Francie Winslow. Francie is my friend. She is a speaker, podcaster, and now she's a songwriter. She and her husband Wyatt are the parents of six young children. Francie teaches out of her own experience, really how she's allowed God's work in her life and journey to impact the way she talks to her kids about God's creation, about sex, and about their bodies. So grab your Java and join Francie and me at the coffee shop as we discuss some of the creative ways she has integrated biblical sexuality into her parenting. Hey, Francie, thanks so much for being back on Java with Julie. I feel like to give some people history, I don't even remember when you and I first connected, maybe 18 months ago. Somebody said, you have to meet Francie Winslow. Like, she's doing similar work to you. I think you'd be very like-minded. And I interviewed you way back then. And since then, we've really struck up a great relationship and friendship and just been able to encourage each other in ministry. So I'm thankful for that connection.
Absolutely. So good to be connected and just to know that we're all moving in God together in this time of history, just pursuing his heart and seeking his word and his will and doing it as a body.
Boy, when I think of you, Francie, one of the first words that come to my mind is passion. Because I talk about sexuality the way I do it, I'm probably more like the philosopher. You know, I'm like sitting back, kind of being thoughtful, sorting through things. When I talk to you about it, like, you are on fire, passionate. And you stoke that passion in me about the topic, about God's goodness, about our need to engage this conversation. Is that just a core element of your personality with everything or just this topic?
I think it's just the things that God has done in me. Mm-hmm. I can sit back and kind of not participate in a whole dinner conversation and just be okay. I'm not jumping in on everything. I'm more actually a little bit reserved. But I think because this has been a place that God has relentlessly pursued my heart and my healing, and it's a reality in my daily life with my husband and every woman that comes to me, it seems that this conversation is where God leads us. And I've seen so much healing in my own journey and in women that I'm relating with either in person or online. And then I'm a mother and I'm raising six kids. I feel like it is everywhere I look. Obviously, when you're called to something, you feel like you see it everywhere. But I also think that there's something that God is doing now in an invitation to healing mind, body, and spirit, and that we're aching for that. And so I think I feel passionate about it because it's probably what God's called me to do, and he's not really let me loose of it. I definitely resisted it at first because I was a little shy and offended to take on this ministry. I don't want to be, you know, put in the spotlight talking about sex, but I've definitely learned from you and other of our friends how to walk with more courage and joy in it.
I love that. And I just wonder, a mom of six kids, and they're all still in the home, and you homeschool several of them. How, I mean, you can feel passionate, but how in the world do you still have the energy to be passionate about this? I think I would just be like, hey, I'm dreaming about this deeply, but I've got
nothing
left. Well,
Julie, I have to tell you, this is what happened this morning. I am an introvert. I crave hours alone with God. That used to be my life before I got married and had kids, you know, just hours with God. And this morning I'm like, oh, I'm so excited. I just dropped some of my kids off at their classes. I've got other kids different places. I'm going to go to a coffee shop before my meeting with Julie. And I get to the coffee shop and I open my planner. I'm like, oh, shoot, I'm supposed to be at a therapy appointment right now with my five-year-old because my brain is on overload all the time. So I drop a million balls and I am a little scatterbrained, but I think somehow when I offer my loaves and fishes, God multiplies it. And I think it's that space of like, Lord, you've given me all of this and I'm just going to do my best to honor and steward it. And I think because it is so related to my real life, I don't preach theory. Mm-hmm. I really do aim to preach what I live and what God has done in me, that I'm not, you know, having to stow away in a library for hours upon hours to figure out what I'm going to say. I speak what comes from my life and my kitchen and my bedroom. And so it is a little bit of an overflow ministry with my loaves and fishes. But I definitely don't manage it all well all the time. I am, thankfully, I was only 10 minutes late to that appointment, got everybody where they need to go. But that is definitely a reality of it's just walking by faith and saying, God, I trust you with all of these pieces.
Yeah. So when you talk about loaves and fishes, I think it's fish. I don't know. We'll call them fishes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. They're like fresh caught and fresh baked. This isn't stuff you gathered a year ago. It's like, yeah, this is what God taught me 5 minutes ago. And I love that. But it's also building on a foundation of all the work and study that you've done. And you have done a fantastic job of building a theological foundation for the things that you teach, as well as practical. You have a podcast, Heaven in Your Home, and a ministry around that. And you are engaging with women who are in the same stage of life that you're in. What are they saying? What are the biggest struggles that you're seeing right now?
You know, it's interesting because I, on my podcast at least, I have three unique groups who come regularly. I have single women who are like, we've never had talks about sex in a way that we feel unashamed. We've never heard Christian women freely ask these questions or host a safe place to explore God's heart on sexuality. We just feel like we need to Google it if we want to learn, but we don't want to Google it because that's scary. And then I have, you know, young marrieds who might have young kids who are just exhausted and they wonder, how do I find my sense of femininity and sexuality and joy in marriage? And then I've got women who've been married 30 or 40 years who say, I've never heard these conversations. I have so much hunger for God's ways and heart on this, and I'm getting healed even now. And I want to teach my daughters who are getting married. And so it's this multi-generational conversation that is surprising to me. I kind of thought it would just, I would draw women my age and stage, but I'm finding women wanting to have vulnerable conversations, wanting to listen in to honest conversations about real life where we have a framework of theology, but we also say, this is actually what's real, and this is God's dream and desire when he in the beginning made a man and a woman in his image and called it good. And I keep hearing people tell me God's healing my mind. He's healing my mind, because I think the more we have conversations where we seek to be honest about the healing that God's doing in our lives and the places we need him, and also look back to the garden dream that God originally had, we start to see, oh, there's a different way to think about this. And there's a different way to relate to my body and to my marriage and to my story and to the hope for the future. And so I think it's multidimensional, but I think the biggest heart cry I hear is we need to have a place where we can have, feel safe enough to have real honest conversations about God, about sex, about marriage and his mission in it all.
Boy, that sounds pretty familiar with what we've got going on here at Authentic Intimacy.
Yeah.
The same thing. And within that, there are questions that seem to be more prominent with different seasons.
Yeah.
There are some questions that never go away.
Yeah.
You know, questions like, what do I do with my sexual desire as a single Christian?
Yeah.
Questions around, how do I enjoy sex within marriage? Things like that. But we have new questions that are really pressing on us in this day and age. Questions around sexual orientation and gender and pornography. And, you know, some of those have always been there, but they're becoming more pressing, I think, particularly for parents.
Yeah.
And you say that you are parenting, or you're teaching in the overflow of your parenting, and you are raising six kids right now who are probably asking some of these same questions. All the way from really little ones who you want to give the right framework for sexuality to teenagers who are engaging with some of what culture is offering them. Can you speak a little bit about your passion related to that and just that parenting journey?
Yeah. Well, I think it started when God was really forming my heart, because what I've realized is I've been speaking to women about God's heart for sex for probably 10 years. And every time I finish, they get all excited of like, this is good. How do I teach my kids? And that is always the question that comes after a talk. And when I have found to be the most transformational is to say, well, first we have to think about it in our own lives and invite mm-hmm. God into our own story. And I think that's what happened with me as a mom. The more I started getting healed and inviting God into my story of sexuality and into a conversation about what is his story of sexuality, like what was he creating when he wrote his message of love onto our bodies as image bearers, what was he thinking? I started realizing there's a different story I want to give my kids than what I was raised with. And it wasn't anybody in particular's fault that I wasn't given that. I think it was just maybe a lack of ability to have conversations in the church that gave an overarching vision for sexuality instead of just boundaries and behavior modification. And so I started when my kids were really little, talking to them about the goodness of their body. Before we talk about sex, before we talk about sexual behaviors, it was just your body is good and it's a temple of the Holy Spirit and God lives in you. You're a house of God and he wants to move through you. And I started realizing that is the story I need to reclaim for my own life is that mm-hmm. I am a walking, talking God encounter. Before, you know, I think about what I'm doing in the bedroom or latest and greatest tips for better orgasms, I need to think about my body being holy and my body being good and my body being a marvelous work of God and that it houses God in every moment of the day, no matter what activity I'm doing, no matter what room of the house I'm in, God is with me and in me, moving through me to bring a more clear picture of who he is. And that's true for me and my kids. So if we're baking cookies and we're taking to the neighbors, we're realizing our hands are instruments of peace and we're bringing the neighbors are cookies and their body is a God revelation, how they love with their bodies. And so as I started thinking about sexuality, I backed it up to the most elementary conversations that your body is a house of God. It's a walking, talking God encounter that you are made to know God in your heart and in your body, realizing that God made me and loves me, all of me, and he's made me to be a conduit of love, that I know him and I show him through my body. And then we talk about how girls and boys are different and girls and boys are made by God in unique ways. And so it just kind of spins into deeper conversations. But right now I'm talking to my 4-year-old and 6-year-old little boy that God made you a boy and it's good that you're a boy. Mm-hmm. And God made me a girl and it's good that I'm a girl. So I think having a spirit of celebration about their bodies and a celebration that God made them and that their bodies are holy and beautiful and powerful for knowing God and showing God in the world mm-hmm. and all the many ways we do that with our bodies. And then as the kids get older, it gets into more complex conversations, but that's kind of the foundation that I wanted to start with.
Yeah, boy, I love that foundation and that idea of knowing and showing God. Mm-hmm. And even the example of, hey, when we're making cookies for a neighbor, our hands can show the love of God. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that there's examples of that all throughout every single day that we can be looking
all
for.
All day, yeah.
You know, I think where people are going to get uncomfortable and uncertain is, okay, how in the world do I apply that to sexuality? Mm-hmm. As you're teaching your 4-year-old and your 6-year-old son about being a boy and the goodness of that. And how does a boy show God's love? And how do his body parts, how does his penis show God's love? I mean, that's, again, where people almost will get creeped out, like, you can't say that. So how are you navigating that disconnect?
Yeah, well, I would just back it up as I think some of our friends are having these conversations these days and say, why do we say, ooh? Why do we think our bodies are creepy? Mm-hmm. Why do we say, oh, I'm uncomfortable? And that points back to discipleship in our own lives. God did not say that when he looked at our bodies. I've realized as a mother, when I find myself getting uncomfortable in a conversation with my kid about sex, sexuality, masturbation, whatever it is, pornography, I have to pause and say, okay, Lord, and go back to my prayer closet and say, what needs healing inside of me and my story that I can't have a hope-filled, truth-filled conversation with my child about God's good design? Because I'm so weirded out about sexuality. It is showing me God wants to heal me. And I've also realized as my kids are getting older, I can be honest with them and say, I don't know how this all works out and I'm still being healed. But what I know is that in the beginning, God made a man and woman and called them good. And they were naked and unashamed. So your body is good and our world is broken. But God sent Jesus to restore and reconcile all of us back to his goodness and reconciling us to relationship with him and one another. So if there's a bentness in our relationship with ourselves or others, that's okay. Let's invite Jesus in. And realizing that it's okay at this point in history, I believe, you can speak to this, you're a wiser mom, but at this point in history, I think it's okay to tell our kids we don't know everything mm-hmm. and we haven't figured it out and we're mm-hmm. still being healed And I think that might be the most authentic discipleship I can give my children, is to say, this is what I know about God. I'm not totally there yet, but I'm on a journey. Let's learn about his heart together. Let's pursue this together. Let's find some resources and learn together, because the world's changing really fast. And this is, again, for like more preteen, teenage conversations. But for, like you said, the little ones, when you talk about your penis being weird, case in point, I've got little boys and they'll say, "Mommy, look, my penis is getting bigger." And they have so much childlike wonder. Mm-hmm. They are not ashamed. They don't think it's gross. And I'll just say, "Isn't that awesome? Your body is so good. God made it so good." And then we move right on. Instead, I think many of us were raised, if a little boy was experiencing an erection, you know, at 3 or 4 years old, it's not a sexual thing. It's just a body working mm-hmm. and growing, blood flowing. I've seen and heard stories where people will tell me, "Oh, well, my mom just slapped my hand or said, cover it up out of fear." And so anytime I feel fear rising up in me as a mother, as it relates to sexuality, again, I kind of step back a little bit and say, "Holy Spirit, search my heart and know me and find anything that is misplaced or bent inside of me, because I want to give my children freedom and encounter with you on this topic." And so I think what it is forcing us in this time in history is, it is forcing us as parents, if we're sincerely following Christ, to come under the discipleship of the Holy Spirit with our sexuality, just like you talk about here, and say, "God, form me," because we all need healing on this journey. And control and fear is not going to produce healthy sexuality in our children, but a pursuit of God's heart in our own healing story and in our own journey with the Lord, I think, is what's going to allow us to have the wisdom we need when we need it.
Mm-hmm. Your description of that is just beautiful, of celebrating our bodies, you know, looking at, if I do feel awkward, if I do feel embarrassed, if I do feel ashamed, where's that coming from? Is it coming from my own wounding? Is it coming from just messages that I learned growing up, that my body is somehow shameful, it's bad, particularly these parts of my body? You know, I think the application of that, where it's going to get tricky, is how do we teach our kids then that the sexual organs are unique, that we don't go around showing them, that people don't touch them. So where's that distinction? Like, it's one thing to say, "Hey, we're celebrating our bodies. This is good." And you don't know all this about this, Francie, but when you talk about some of the sex positivity in our culture, they would totally be going along with you, but then there would be no boundaries.
Right.
So from the youngest ages, where do we start setting boundaries without instilling that kind of shame or that belief that my body's bad?
Yeah, that's a great question. I talk to moms about that all the time, because most of us were raised in a culture that made us really believe that our private parts are bad and that our, you know, just our bodies are bad in general. And so I don't know all there is. I'm still learning, but I would just say practical things, like you wear your underwear in the house because you want to honor your body. We don't run around naked. Or, you know, when little boys or little girls might be discovering and exploring their bodies, we just gently redirect instead of just saying, "Sure, it's a free for all the time." But just, "Hey, we want to keep our private parts clean and we want to cover up because we want to honor your body." And so we talk, that's for like the preschoolers. You don't need to get into deep biological description. And as they get older, I think they learn just through the culture of the home, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. You know, mommy and daddy walk around with our clothes on and we don't show our private parts. And that's because we want to keep our bodies healthy and safe, and we want to honor them because they're precious gifts. And you don't just display a precious diamond out on the middle of the street where cars are driving by and could crush it. You keep it in a safe place where it can be really honored and cared for. And that's the same with your body. And so just emphasizing the preciousness of it and the value of it and the goodness of it, so that they know this is something we care for. It's not something that we are casual with, because its value is so great.
Mm-hmm. When do you get to the place where you're actually teaching your kids then about sex? So I think traditionally we would have waited until those early teen years or tween years, but that's too late now.
Yeah.
So when do you start helping them make the connection that our sexual organs actually express a unique kind of love?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I can't tell you what everybody should do, but I'll just tell you what we have done most recently.
So we're all just figuring this out, Francie. So I feel like we're all pioneers, kind of just, you know, hacking down a new trail.
And I do have to say, like, we appreciate and value and so cherish the local church, but it has to happen in our living rooms. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't rely on youth pastors or Sunday school teachers or pastors to do this work. It has to be something that we do in our hearts And then we do in our living rooms, in conversations, in our car rides, in our kitchen, at the kitchen counter, where it's a part of our normal life. So I really do believe that is something that we can all aim for, is allowing the Holy Spirit to be the conversation starter and listening for little clues and cues of when they're curious, when they have conversations, and just little drips. It starts with very factual things. We use nature a lot, like, oh, the seasons are changing. Look at the, I was joking, I say it a lot, but like, oh, look at all the fertility in the air because there's so much pollen. Like, God's creation is sexual. There is flowers, and that's, I guess, where the birds and the bees came from. There are so many descriptions of reproduction and life-giving beauty in creation. That is a great starting point for younger kids. But I think when it comes to actual procreation, even pleasure, I think it is a conversation that can be gradual and factual. And then it becomes really real when the kids are exposed to real life on the internet, in their friends groups. They're constantly asking, what does that mean? What does that mean? Because there's so many sexual innuendos and so many words in movies. So we've really just kind of made it a casual conversation regularly. But we have what we call family government once a week, which is the idea that we are self-government. You govern yourself under the Holy Spirit. And then there's family government and church government, all these places where we're growing, and there's a sense of intentionality. And so during family government, we're reading through some of scripture, but we're also talking about what's happening in the world. We're talking about what's trending in the newspapers, what's trending with youth, and to try to continue to make our children know, hey, we know what's going on in the world, and we want you to feel free to talk to us about it. And so we'll kind of flip through the newspaper together and talk about it, and then teen-related topics. And we have a 15-year-old, 14-year-old, 11-year-old, and a 9-year-old that are part of this conversation. And I will say it's tricky to have a conversation with a 15-year-old and the 9-year-old in the same room. The 9-year-old's like, Mom, this is a lot for me to think about. And so we've talked through, because we're talking not only about sex, like procreation sex, but trans issues or mm-hmm. gender confusion, or we're talking about social media, depression, and anxiety, because it's really not only a sex talk. It's mm-hmm. all of these things in one, because right. of how things have become so confusing and fused in our culture. So I think it's come from a place where we're just, as a family, having conversations about current events. And in that, we're like, well, we're going to tell you all right now, just as a primer, these are the body parts of a man. You have the penis, and you have the scrotum, the testicles. This is how it works. And we just incorporated it into a family conversation of education, really. And this is the female reproduction we talked about the next week. And we made it a kind of a silly game. We're like, okay, everybody say the word penis. Mm-hmm. And we giggled, and everybody put pillows over their faces, and we're kind of awkward and silly. But I think that's just, at this stage, having teenagers, we want to say, we're comfortable with this. We're not afraid of your body parts. We're not afraid of what they mean. We're not afraid of what happens in a marriage or what happens when people are passionate. We understand it, and we want you to know that you can talk to us about it. The thing I've seen with women too is a lack of education.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping just to give my kids a really good sex education. Mm-hmm. And I know we have our friend Kristen Miele, Sex Ed Reclaimed, that has great resources for that you can watch videos with your kids. But I think the more comfortable we are talking about body parts and actual reproductive facts and God's good design wrapped up in all of it, and we incorporate it into casual conversations and intentional conversations, at least that's what we're trying to do in our home.
Yeah, boy, I love it. I'm wondering, for the parent who is listening to this and saying, I could never get my spouse to buy into that. Like, you know, like, my family just doesn't work that way, or I'm a single parent, or yeah. I'm a grandparent who feels like I'm carrying the torch for this because the parents yeah. aren't.
Yeah, absolutely.
How can we have those kinds of very intentional conversations without the sort of structure that you're describing?
Well, I think it needs to be intentional. I don't think mm-hmm. it happens when we're afraid of it and we kind of want to avoid it. And I think the best way to do is to make ourselves available and mm-hmm. undistracted. I find that it's easy for me to be so busy with my kids that I miss moments. And so I think driving down the road and just being available side by side is a beautiful opportunity for these conversations. Hey, what are kids talking about at school? Do you have any questions about what kids are saying? Is there anything that you're not sure what it means? Because, you know, believe it or not, I know what all the cuss words mean. And yeah. even just saying that has really, my kids are like, okay, let's go on the ABC. And they wanted to name every cuss word because there's a lot of sexual words in that they didn't know what they meant, and they felt embarrassed, and, you know, they wanted to Google it. And I said, hey guys, let's make a deal. Don't Google things. Mm-hmm. If you don't know, ask me, because Google will never be a good parent to you. And I think that was, I mean, they're going to Google things, I'm sure, but at least acknowledging, I know what it's like to be a kid. I know what it's like to hear words you don't know what they mean. You can talk to me. And so I think heart connection is the best currency we can have with our people, whether it's your grandchildren or your kids, whether you're a single mom, single dad. And it doesn't have to be a formal family meeting that, you know, and it, by the way, they're never easy. They're never smooth. They're never pretty. There's usually crayons flying and somebody throwing a fit in the background. But it's just what you said. It's something intentional to say, we're here and we're available and we want to help you navigate this because it's not an easy road.
Yeah. Boy, speaking of being intentional, Francie, you've just developed something that helps parents be super intentional about teaching these things. I don't even really know how to describe it other than like you've written and produced songs.
Yeah.
That teach kids some of the basics of sexuality.
Yeah.
So I just keep picturing, like, do you remember Salty?
Yeah, of course. Like, I was raised on Salty.
Now we've got Salty teaches us about biblical sexuality. Can you share how that project came to your mind? And maybe we can even share a little bit of some of what you've produced so people sure. get a little sample of that.
Yeah, well, how it started was in my kitchen, and I had been meditating on God's word. And once you start seeing the beauty and the goodness of our body, that God made it good, you start seeing it throughout all of scripture, the dignity of our body, image bearing, Christ lives in us, the hope of glory. That means we are embodied light bringers and our bodies matter. And so what I realized was 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 was changing my life. And I wanted to give that to my kids. It says, did you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? God, that you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. I feel like if they get one piece of sexual discipleship, that is it. It is the full gospel. It's the reality that he lives in you. He moves through you. You are not your own. You are not made for self-expression. You are made for God expression. You are bought with the precious blood of Christ. Glorify him, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do with your body, glorify him. Live an integrated life unto God, mind, body, spirit. So if I could give them one thing, it was that. So I thought, what am I going to do as this is changing my mind, changing my life as I'm being discipled? How can I give this to my kids? And I started making up a rap to that tune. And I started doing it in my kitchen. And I'd say, did you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? And my kids loved it at first. Then they'd kind of roll their eyes. And then I'd find them singing it randomly around the house. And I thought, oh, thank you, Lord. What a gift. And I was speaking to a group of moms about this very thing. And we're talking about their own sexual journey and finding God in that and then how to give it to your kids. And I rapped for them. They said, we have to have that. So I just sent it to them in a voice text. And then one of the moms in that group is a professional musician, and she felt like the Holy Spirit just filled her up with a sense of, we have to make music. So her name is Catherine Brunner, and she and I met at a park a few weeks later. I laid out all the notes I had been taking over the years, poems I'd written, curriculum ideas I had sketched out, and I said, this is my stuff. This is, I think, what God has for our children. And so we worked together, and we wrote four songs, and she wrote the music for them, and we worked together in the lyrics, and it is out now on Apple Music, on Spotify, YouTube, everywhere you look for music. It's called Heaven in Your Home Family Music. Yeah. And it has songs that are basically about the beauty of being a masterpiece of God, that he knows you, that he knits you together in your mother's womb, that your body is a temple, that rap is in there. Let's see, we have one about God made boys and God made girls. He made each one with a piece of heaven to give to the world. Like, we have been imprinted, male and female, with the goodness of God, that we could shine the light of Jesus. And I've had the most precious responses from moms who just play it in their car. And it's interesting to watch. A lot of them have told me, I just hit play. I didn't tell them anything. And the kids, it's almost like their spirits stand up when they hear it, because it is the word of God over their bodies. And I think that's the biggest battleground for them right now in their discipleship is, will I meet God in my body, in my identity as a male or female made in the image of God? Will I surrender this part of my life to the Lordship of Jesus and pursue the fullness of his design? Or will I take it for myself? And I think speaking these scriptures, they're scripture spoken, scripture sung, it's fun. I've heard some really beautiful stories of children saying, Mom, this is important. I need to hear that again. Or God is speaking to me right now. Or how big is God's love? I think it's so big. They're just kind of coming out with these beautiful statements as children responding to the heart of God for them.
Well, let's give a little sample if that's all right.
Sure.
God made boys and God made girls. He made each one to change the world with his love, with his love. God made boys and God made girls. He made each one to change the world with his love, with his love. He gave each of us a piece of heaven.
Boy, Francie, that is so creative and so fun. When you created these songs, what age range did you have in mind for kids?
Honestly, I have videos of moms sending them, like their babies dancing to it, toddlers just jumping up and down that God made boys and God made girls, but all the way to high schoolers. I've heard moms say they, you know, they have a range of kids and they play it and their high schoolers listen and they think about the words. So ideally, I think the age range would probably be 4 to 10, but I have kids on either side of that range that are receiving truth. And I think what I love and is so Holy Spirit sneaky about this is that when you get a song in your head and it's laced with the scriptures of God and the Spirit of God, there is something that transforms in your heart and you carry that forever. And so it's kind of a tool in discipleship that I believe will truly stick with them past those car rides and be a place where they meet God. And that's my prayer.
Boy, that's really true. I think about the songs that I learned as a kid. They never go away.
They never go away.
And even the Psalms were meant to be sung.
Yeah.
You know, God created us that way, that we remember and we process things differently when we sing them than when we say them.
Yeah. I think it gives us a place of celebration. That's one of my main priorities in my ministry to moms, women, families, and children is we have a posture of celebration that God made us good, that we are not here to judge or condemn. We're here to look back at the goodness of God, how he made us, and celebrate and worship and realign when he celebrated and said, wow, this is good. And that's our invitation. And so that's the heart of this album. There's some really fun get up and dance songs. There's one called Masterpiece that is more like a lullaby. And I sing it over my little boys at night when I'm tucking them in. And it's just, you are a masterpiece. And it's that based on that Ephesians 2:10, that we are made a workmanship of God, that we are his poema, that we are not meaningless matter. We are a distinct masterpiece of God made for a reason, made to know God and show God.
There are so many moms, and I would say moms and dads, and then also I think even young adults who are not excited about raising kids in today's culture, in American culture. Like I've talked to young adults who are like, I don't even know if I want to have kids. It's getting so bad so fast.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is on the sexuality front with the confusion of sexuality and gender. You have six, again, ranging from 4 all the way to 15, but you're so hopeful. You're so passionate. How do you maintain that hope in the face of just how culture continues to get worse?
I think what fuels my hope is relational connection. And I don't say that tongue in cheek. I think one of the values my husband and I have held the most closely is relational connection, heart connection. And for him and I, it looks differently. Like he takes all six of them on a Dunkin' Donuts date every Sunday morning. Like they get like 15 minutes and each of them get dad in face to face. And it's so precious. And he tells me, he's like, Francie, there's nothing more precious than that kid knowing they're seen and they're heard and they're cared for, their highs and their lows. And it's such a silly thing to like go in and out of Dunkin' Donuts, but the ride there of just saying, hey, you matter and you are here and God loves you and I love you. And for me, I try to do different things. It doesn't look as consistent because I'm the mom meeting everybody's needs in a million different ways, but we just try to honor them as an individual, as an image bearer of God. And when I do that, I see hope. I definitely get overwhelmed. I get scared. I get overwhelmed. But then I realize God put us here right now for a reason. And the darker everything gets, honestly, I feel like God is saying, this is an amazing time to be alive. If you have the Spirit of God in you, and if you are inviting him in, he will lead you and he will fill you and he will show you the next right thing to do as you walk with him with your kids. And I've seen that. And we've faced hard things. We've faced tricky things in this culture with our kids. We've had some really hard conversations, but I'm also finding even when I press up against the hard, the Lord's like, value relational connection, value their heart. And I'm watching them not have a heart of fear or judgment in this world. I see them growing a heart of compassion for this world because we're talking about God's heart and we're also talking about the hard things of our life, of our suffering and the suffering of the world, whether it's pain or sickness or confusion, gender pain, gender confusion, sexual pain. And they are growing massive hearts of compassion for the world and those around them. And so I think it's a really sweet time to be alive if we can see it as a unique destiny that we have in God, that he knew the times we'd be alive. And His Spirit is enough in us as parents to disciple our kids one day at a time. And I don't have it all figured out. I feel like it definitely requires dependence, but I also do have faith that God is on the move and that this is a good time to be alive.
Well, I don't know about you, but I think it would have been helpful to have some of those songs when I was raising my own sons. You know, we all begin our journey of understanding sexuality by being rooted in a sense of how God made us and designed our bodies as a way to reflect His glory. And really, it's no different with our kids. But it makes sense that it's hard to communicate these difficult ideas to little ones. My prayer is that the conversation we had today has shown you where you might need some healing in your own history, but also how you can lead your kids into a healthy theology around their bodies and their sexuality. And if you'd like to know more about Francie or learn more from her, we've linked to her podcast and to her website. Her album, Heaven in Your Home Family Music, is available on Apple Music, Spotify, and YouTube, and we've also linked to it there. We've added a link to my most recent blog post that relates to this conversation. It's about overcoming some common barriers in talking to your kids about sex. Well, friend, thanks so much for joining me and Francie today. I'm thankful that you listened, and I can't wait to be with you next time on Java with Julie.